4:30 having arrived, I will call to staff to please call the roll.
Council President Figueroa Cole.
Here.
Alder Revere.
Here.
Alder Curry.
Here.
Alder Madison.
Here.
Alder Evers.
Here.
Alder Rummel.
Present.
Mayor, you have quorum.
Thank you. My first item is general public comment. We have no one registered under the general category, so we'll move to disclosures and recusals. Are there any disclosures or recusals on today's agenda? Seeing none, then we'll move on to the consent agenda. We have one registrant wishing to speak on item 9, so that will be excluded from the consent agenda. Items 10 and 11 are discussion items and thus will be excluded. And items 12 and 13 are closed session items, so will be excluded as well. Are there additional items that members of the body would like to see excluded from the consent agenda? President Figueroa Cole?
Item 4, please.
Item 4 will be excluded. Are there any additional items that members of the body would like to see excluded from the consent agenda?
Recording stopped. Oh, recording in progress.
Seeing no other items, then let me just go once more time. Excluded from the consent agenda will be items 4, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So then on the consent agenda, President Figueroa Cole, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of the items on the consent agenda and the recommendations therein? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote. And we'll move then to item 4, which is Legistar 86805, authorizing the settlement and payment of a tax refund for tax years 2022 and 23, and authorizing entry into a settlement agreement and approving payment thereof. On item 4, President Figueroa Cole, can I get a motion, please?
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt. President Figueroa Cole, questions?
Thank you, Mayor. I just had two questions. One, can I get a kind of a summary of what is this about, and then clarification about when the language says that our portion is like $80,000, something like that. So does that mean we are returning taxes to the other entities, right? I mean, can we just a clarification, like the county, the schools, the MATC? How does that whole thing works? Thank you.
Assessor Drea is here.
This might be kind of a Dave question, actually, about the different taxing jurisdictions.
Okay, Dave?
Thanks, Mayor. Council President Figueroa Cole, thanks for that question. Basically, the money is refunded to the property owner. That's the settlement. The city basically pays all of that back to the property owner, and then that is allocated to the taxing jurisdictions on their proportional share. So the school district's roughly 50%. The city is roughly 37%. Dane County is about 12%, and the Technical College, Madison College, is about 2%. And then under the state levy limit law, the city's share, which you'll see in the fiscal note, I believe is around $81,000. That then, under the levy limit calculation in the subsequent year, can be added to the maximum amount that can be levied by the city.
Okay, thank you. And then Michelle Trejo. So how can you, how did we get here? I mean, how does that happen that we didn't charge the right amount to begin with?
Sure. This is a very tricky appraisal problem. This is a headquarters for a mortgage company who built it themselves. So it's probably the nicest office headquarter building in the city. It's got its own pub, for example. It is very high-end, high finishes. We don't have, there's two sources of data that we can use to appraise. One is sales of similar or reasonably comparable properties. And these kinds of properties simply don't, we don't have any other in the city of Madison on this level, or very few. So you have to go either out to the rest of the state or to surrounding states to find sales that might be helpful to value. That's a tricky process. It is owner occupied. So the other data that we can use to value these kinds of properties would be income and expense information. So for example, if it was owned and there was a tenant, we could get rental information, that kind of thing. But because this is owner occupied, there was no such information. So in seeking effective, accurate, and appropriate data with which to value a property like this is really a sticky wicket. We did our best. As it turned out, we were off. We had an independent expert come in and take a look at and do an expert appraisal. So we were a little bit high on our value. We had done, we kind of, you can look at cost, is another valuation methodology that you can use. But that tends to be really high and not accurate for these kinds of properties. And I think we may be overly relied on some cost data. But when you think about what we had available to us, it's not unreasonable. So I will say that this is only the second time that I've come to the city to request any kind of refund of this level. The other time I had to come to finance committee to talk about a refund was during COVID, and it was the malls. But outside of that, in my tenure, I haven't had to do this. And I'm saying that just to indicate how, what a kind of problematic property this was just from an appraisal perspective.
Thank you for the plain English on this one. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. That's all I got.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Alder. Are there any other questions on item 4? If not, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? If not, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor. And that will take us to item 9. On item 9, we have one registrant wishing to speak. Item 9 is a substitute amending the Economic Development Division's 2025 adopted capital budget to transfer funds from TID 51 to the land banking program and to authorize a purchase and sale agreement for the property located at 1814 South Park Street for land banking. On item 9, we have one registrant wishing to speak, Cody Neumeyer of District 15.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I was wondering, because this is it's mentioned banking in general, is this going to be like an outside party outside of the state of Wisconsin?
So generally, we don't do a back and forth and answer questions here, but if you want to state your questions or concerns, they may be able to be addressed in the conversation following.
Okay. Yeah, this is the first time I've attended one of these, so I don't really know the standard procedure. I was just wondering, because it felt kind of like a red flag to me when I saw the word banking and like a small, like, I mean, it's a relatively large city, it's a capital, but still, Wisconsin's like kind of separated from the major East Coasts. And I feel like there's a lot of like overreach when it comes to banking in a lot of these areas. And I was just worried if there's like a lot of money within our community being sent out to people that might not have interests of the community at heart.
Thank you for your comment. Then on item 9, President Figueroa Cole, can I get a motion, please?
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt item 9. Are there questions? Alder Evers.
Yeah, I guess I'd like staff, for the benefit of our resident, to briefly explain our land banking policy.
That's Dan, do you want to take that one?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Very good. thank you, Alder. The question about land banking, the city has a land banking program where we have put dollars from various pots, either from general revenue or from tax increment districts, into acquiring properties that could be utilized for, in this case, redevelopment. The city has made a practice with policymakers' direction to acquire properties for redevelopment in strategic areas in alignment with the city's adopted master plans, in this case the South Madison plan. And this acquisition, as part of the land banking program funded by, in this case, tax increment district 51, would further that land banking program and allow us to continue redevelopment in the South Madison, South Park Street area.
Thanks, Dan. And so the banking part of it is not that we're using outside banks, that we are, in a sense, banking that land for future use. We are acquiring it, taking it off the real estate market, the speculative real estate market, at a price we deem affordable, and holding on to it until we figure out what we want to do with it. So we are the ones that are actually banking it. Is that correct?
That's a very good description, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions on item 9? If not, it's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, then it's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of item 9? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor. That will take us to our discussion items. The first is item 10, Legistar 86891, a presentation of the Finance Department's 2025 internal audit plan. Dave, are you kicking this off, or are we starting with Cola?
Mayor, I think Cola's here, and he will walk through the plan, and we're happy to answer any questions once Cola.
Thanks, Dave. Cola?
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, for the opportunity to present the 2025 internal audit. I'm quickly going to share my screen. Please let me know when my screen comes up.
It's there, Cola. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. The annual plan has been carefully developed to align with the municipality's strategic objective to ensure that our audit activities this year add value and enhance the principles of governance, accountability, and operational efficiency. Before I start to walk us through the slides, I want to intimate us that the internal audit annual report for 2024, it's online for our review. The link here is the access to the report, but I'm quickly going to walk us through how we can navigate to the report quickly. On the City of Madison Finance website, we'll find the internal audit, the link to the internal audit. And if we click on the link to the internal audit, we're going to see another link that shows report. Clicking the report link will take us to list of completed audit reports. We have the audit reports that were completed in 2024, and here is the annual internal audit report for our review. Okay. So let me go back to this. What is the purpose of our review, the internal audit work plan? The internal audit work plan develops a work to ensure a systematic risk-based approach to auditing that helps us to enhance the principles of governance, accountability, and compliance with the municipality. Part of the objective for us is that it helps to ensure that we have transparency and efficiency in our operation. One of the other purposes for this work plan is to ensure that we support and align the internal audit activities with the municipality's strategic goals and compliance requirement. By definition, internal audit, the goal of every internal audit activity is to ensure that we add value to the principle, to the operations and the effective efficiency of the activities of the municipality. So the plan for the internal audit work plan this year is to provide assurance on risk management, internal control, and governance. Here are the proposed internal audit plan for 2025. We will continue to review the Community Development Division audit that was started last December. We were unable to complete it because of the holiday and all of the other delays that were met during the audit, but the goal of this audit is to and review the community development system operation, which includes the efficiency and the effectiveness of its operation. The period of performance is expected, this audit is expected to be completed during the Q1 2025. The fleet services will be considered as well. The 2024 enterprise risk assessment identifies some of the high risk audit areas within the fleet services, which makes it a priority for the 2025 audit. Key audit risks that were identified during the risk assessment include improper vehicle handling, which may lead to collision, property damage, injuries, and fatalities. We also identify financial liabilities from workers' compensation claim and vehicle repairs as part of the risk that were ranked high during the risk assessment. Considering this, we have considered fleet services as part of the areas that audit will be reviewing this year. Our assessment will cover this fleet management and its utilization. We intend to go into this by the beginning of Q2 2025. We will also consider the parking division. This was necessitated due to some of the identified risk areas during the risk assessment, which include non-implementation of standard operating procedures. Where there are no standard operating procedures, it becomes an high-risk area for us to review as auditors. We also identify that there is need for parking garage security and safety risk. In addition to the risk assessment, the division leadership had requested the internal audit to assist them in evaluating the effectiveness of recent operational changes that were implemented. The audit will provide assurance on process efficiency, risk management, and policy compliance. We will also review the assessor's office. This review will cover the assessor's office operation to verify the effect, the fairness and the accuracy of property assessment. This, the assessor's office was picked as part of the audit in 2024, but we could not complete it because of some of the delays that we have in our audit processes. And so we have moved it over to 2025 as part of the audit for the period. As part of our general review of the citywide activities that cut across the citywide, we will be conducting a comprehensive review of the vendor's master file. The primary objective of the vendor master file is to evaluate the data integrity, ensuring that vendors' information is accurate, is complete, and is up to date. We also want to ensure the system efficiency, thereby identifying any form of inefficiency or weaknesses in the vendor management system. We also want to provide the assurance that there is a compliance with all regulatory authorities, including the city's procurement policies and vendor onboarding protocols, to mitigate risks such as duplication payment or unauthorized vendors. This review will help to provide valuable insight into the effectiveness of vendor management processes and help us to strengthen the financial controls that have already been implemented, operational efficiency, and regulatory compliance across the municipality. Internal audit, in its efforts to support the municipality, will conduct cash count and limited cash control to review the to provide assurance to the city leadership regarding the existence and effective of internal controls around our cash handling processes. This helps to ensure that there are controls in place to safeguard our cash collection. Towards the end of this year, we will review our annual enterprise assessment exercise again, whereby all agencies will review the inherent risk in the operation, review the mitigating controls that management have put in place, and also see how we can improve on the processes that we have. The timeline for completion of this project is December 2025. This slide provides us a view of the distribution of the internal audit based on the key focus area. 57% of our activities this year will relate to performance audit, as required by the generally accepted government auditing standard. The audit will be dedicated more to performance audit. This audit will provide assurance on the effectiveness and efficiency of government programs and initiative undertaken by the city's agencies, which is also aligns with the approvals from the Common Council. To provide assurance on the existence and the efficiency of the internal control across the enterprise, 29% of the audit plan will focus on internal control monitoring, ensuring the integrity of the financial system, safeguarding of assets, and compliance with internal control, internal policies, and regulation. While 14% of the activities of the internal audit this year will cover general review. Our scope for 2025 will include review of our financial statement, wherein we will review the financial activities of the different agencies that we are auditing to ensure that expenditures, revenue, and budget are properly recorded and comply with the generally accounting standard and practices. In addition to that, we will also conduct operational review, which will evaluate the efficiency and effectiveness of the services and operation to ensure maximization of resources and alignment of agencies' activities with the city's strategy goal. We will also do compliance review, which will review agencies' adherence to provisions of applicable laws, rules, policies, and regulation. Because of the issues of IT risk, our audit will also include IT system review, wherein we will assess the security, reliability, and efficiencies of our IT systems, focusing more on data governance, system integrations, and disaster recovery plan. The audit will cover all activities performed by the selected agencies between January to December 2024. Thank you.
Thank you, Kola. Are there questions on the internal audit plan? Alder Vivier?
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you very much, Kola, and Finance Director Schmidicke, for your leadership in having such a robust internal audit program now. For those that have served on the Finance Committee for a while, we know full well that this program unfortunately suffered from turnover in your position, Kola, and really a lack of a presence in City Hall. So this is, since you've been on the team, it really has been so much of a improvement that's so clear to those of us on the Finance Committee. So thank you for your robust leadership again. The only question I have for you, Kola, is are there any initial observations you feel comfortable sharing with the committee today about your ongoing CDD internal audit, or is it premature to ask you to share any initial observations?
Oh, we're still in the process of testing. We haven't, for as it were, we haven't had any finding or anything. We have a little bit of some delay on the CDD responding to some of the questions that we have. But as soon as we have that available to us, we will continue with the testing. But as it were, for now, we do not have any finding that we need to report to the Finance Committee.
When that audit is complete, you do plan to share the results with the committee, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Yeah, let me just say in closing, Mayor, that I appreciate so much, Kola, that you and Dave come to this committee early and often, I think above and beyond the requirements and the ordinances in terms of presenting the annual internal audit plan to us. So I do really appreciate your work. Thank you again. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you,
Alder. Any other questions for Kola at this time? If not, thank you very much, Kola. We appreciate the presentation.
Thank you.
Our next item is number 11, Legistar 86892, an update on federal executive orders and directives to pause federal grants and loans.
I'll be walking through that, Mayor.
Dave?
Thank you. All right. I'm sure you've been reading closely some of the media accounts around actions at the federal level related to presidential executive orders, as well as directives, particularly from the White House Office Management and Budget. So today we'll cover the timeline on some of those actions. Try to give you a general picture of federal funds that are in the city budget and some next steps going forward. So a week ago today, the Office of Management and Budget issued a memorandum that basically instructed federal agencies to pause all agency grants, loans, and other financial assistance programs. That was generally under the instruction of trying to review those programs for adherence to previously issued presidential executive orders. That pause was set to go into effect on Tuesday, January 28th at 5 p.m. Eastern. The next day, Tuesday, the OMB and the White House issued a question and answer document referring to the original OMB memo and specifying that certain programs would not be subject to the pause. Those were primarily direct payment programs to individuals, such as Medicaid, the SNAP program or food stamps, and other programs that provide those types of direct benefits. In addition, that day, a federal judge temporarily blocked the funding pause through today in order to allow arguments to be made by those who were bringing suit against this action. On Wednesday, the 29th, OMB issued another memorandum basically rescinding the prior memo on the pause of federal funds. I think generally in media accounts that was characterized as responding to the federal judge temporary block on that funding pause action. And then on Friday of last week, another federal judge issued a temporary restraining order that blocks the administration's efforts to suspend federal dollars in 22 states, including Wisconsin and the District of Columbia, which were a party to that lawsuit, I think, brought by the attorneys general in those states. So right now there is no pause, but we are monitoring closely what is happening. So when we take a look at federal funding in the city budget, we are in the process right now in the finance department, working with agencies that receive federal funds to inventory all of our programs and projects that rely on federal funding. We do know the amount of federal funding that's budgeted in the 2025 capital budget, as well as the capital improvement plan and the operating budget. So that does show the amount we sort of plan on receiving. Based on what we know, or at least we knew at the time the 2025 budget was put together. But we don't know things that we may have already programmed in prior budgets, since we have multi-year projects in the capital budget. Another information source that we can look at in terms of federal dollars is what we call the single audit. And that's required by all entities that spend more than $750,000 in federal financial assistance each year. And so we prepare schedules of expenditures for both federal grants and state awards, one for the city and one for the joint city-county public health department. The most recent single audit we have is from 2023. We are currently in the process of working on the 2024 single audit. So again, looking at historic expenditures will give some context of the scope of federal funding that could be affected by future actions by, let's say, Congress or administration executive orders and memoranda. So if we start with the single audit, which is also called the Schedule of Expenditures of Federal Awards, we can show what's in 2023. We have taken out of this sort of view one-time COVID relief funds, as well as FEMA money that we received as part of the 2018 flood response. We've taken out, or we include formula grants, so under certain federal legislation and certain programs, there's a certain amount that's allocated based on a number of different criteria depending on the program. It also includes money that the city is awarded through a competitive processes at the federal level. We're showing you the city totals and the public health department totals separately. And then, as you would expect, the 2023 total is higher than the average from 2019 through 2022, because of the East-West Bus Rapid Transit funding and increased formula funding from Housing and Urban Development for the Community Development Block Grant, the Home Program, and Section 8 housing programs. So as you can see in this table, these are the amount by year 2019 through 2023 from those single audit reports. And these are the amounts by the federal agencies. So you'll see some smaller amounts related to the library system, Department of Agriculture, Department of Energy. You see some increases in funding there. Housing and Urban Development is where we primarily, the city gets money in the CDBG and other housing-related programs. Department of Justice will be things like COPS grants, and transportation is going to be primarily transit, and you can see the large increase in 2023 related to bus rapid transit. EPA and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, that's funding that comes through Department of Civil Rights for work that they do. In the Public Health Department, Department of Agriculture, that'll be SNAP-related type of grants and WIC program grants. Health and Human Services, though, is the bulk of the funding for public health. Some of that, for example, might be maternal and child health, vaccine programs, and things like that. So you can see roughly $30 to $40 million in the period of 2019 through 2022. That jumps considerably in 2023 because of bus rapid transit, the east-west route. Looking at the operating budget alone, you can see that by far the largest single amount is for CDA housing operations. Followed by community development, which is going to be primarily community development block grant funding. When we put that all into context, though, $50 million as a share of the city's all funds budget, which is about $828 million, we're looking at about 6% of the total budget comes from federal dollars. But within specific programs in the city, it is the overwhelming share or a significant share of the funding for services in those agencies. So, for example, Section 8 housing vouchers in CDA, or community development block grants in CDD, or the formula grants through federal transit authorizing legislation to help operate the city's transit system. I mentioned WIC program. And then in planning, the Metropolitan Planning Organization for the city, much of that is funded through federal dollars. There are some matching dollars from the city and other communities that help to fund that. So not a big share of the overall budget, but a significant share, if not the overwhelming share, in some specific programs in the city. Looking specifically at the budgeted amounts in both the 2024 and 25 capital budgets, you can see the amounts by agency and then by project. So we're looking at about $56 million in 2024, which jumps to $185 million in 2025, again, primarily due to the North-South Bus Rapid Transit project. And the anticipation of receiving federal dollars for that. And then you can see how dollars have been adjusted between the years. For example, some of this is one-time funding with the permanent men's shelter, or in Metro Transit funding for electric buses. Some of that would be the East-West Bus Rapid Transit, and then other sort of one-time federal funding, for example, for the Metro Satellite Bus Facility, some stormwater funding, and then some safety grants for traffic engineering. So you can see how from year to year, the federal amount can change, particularly for very large infrastructure projects such as bus rapid transit. Another sort of component of the city's budget that is reliant on more recently adopted federal legislation is the Inflation Reduction Act. This has maybe been implicitly identified through presidential executive orders focused on climate issues, for example. This element of Inflation Reduction Act is called direct pay tax credits, and that was set up to provide support for basically entities, governmental entities, nonprofit entities that don't have a tax liability, federal tax liability, and can't take advantage of tax credit programs. And this was a direct pay program to help cover some of the cost of certain types of clean energy projects, for example. And as you may recall, the 2024 capital improvement plan budgeted over $12 million from this program in the specific projects that you see in this table. And so that's, for example, the Bartolon shelter, various energy improvements such as solar projects, geothermal projects, and which is included, for example, in the Far West facility and the Police South District and Property and Evidence facilities. So a not insignificant part of our capital improvement program is tied to these direct pay tax credits, which probably at some level of heightened risk going forward, whether or not federal government will follow through on these programs. And I'll just say around the Inflation Reduction Act, we had submitted what was required under IRS procedures related to 2023 projects. And that included 12 passenger vehicles for which we would have received or expected to receive $90,000 and 9 solar projects for which we submitted direct pay tax credit forms for $415,000. Those were sent in on the due date of November 15th. We have no idea what the status is at this time. They were required to be submitted through paper documentation, so there's no portal to monitor the status. Just from what little I've heard on this, I think the expectation that the city is going to receive these funding is probably there is a high degree of risk that that's not going to happen. Next slide. So the next steps, we primarily finance attorney's office and mayor's office, continuing to monitor the developments, and we'll continue to communicate with staff and finance committee and the council as a whole. We are developing that inventory that I mentioned earlier, and we'll be working on that over the next few weeks together with city agencies so that we really understand what our risk exposure is in some of these funding programs. And we'll continue to return to you to provide updates. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dave. Alder Evers? Sorry. You're muted.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. This question could go to you or to Dave, and I'm also willing for you to say this is not something that we want to perhaps talk about in a public setting, but to what extent should we be concerned that there could be a target on our back where Madison could be selected more specifically than, let's face this, municipalities, state and local entities throughout the country were, and nonprofits were in a panic last week. Are we at risk reputationally because of our of commitments that we have made in the past and currently are making that could put a target on our back. Is that something to consider?
No, thank you, Alder. I mean, this action that we saw last week was so incredibly broad and sweeping that it impacted basically every local unit of government in the country and many, many nonprofits and frankly, businesses as well. So I don't think there's a whole lot of targeting going on at this point in time. It very much remains to be seen how they proceed. In the face of these lawsuits and the rescission of the executive order, the memo, I think we just don't know. I do think it would be fair to say that there are certain areas of funding that they are more focused on than others. And again, I think it's not clear to me, even within those areas, likely some of them are subject to only executive action. Others, most certainly would need congressional action to change. I just don't think we know enough at this point in time to know, exactly where our vulnerabilities are. And that's part of the work that finance and the attorneys are trying to do in collaboration with all of our agencies, of course, that get federal funding, is just trying to understand where the vulnerabilities are.
Well, thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. And this may be a question then that Dave could answer. Are you familiar with the concern that's been expressed in the last 24 to 48 hours, a letter that was sent to the new Treasury Secretary creating alarm regarding what Elon Musk and his employees, I don't know what you want to call them, having gained access to a payment system within the Department of Treasury, and if that may have some level of concern moving forward?
Alder Evers, all I've seen is headlines and, short articles about that. I have no further knowledge of what that involves, why it's being done, and I assume that as more information comes to light, whatever action will need to be taken by those who feel that that's a concern will be taken. But that's, I don't know anything more than that, what system it is or anything like that.
All right. Well, thank you. Obviously, this is something that attorneys, the courts, and others will be having their hands full. And I appreciate your work and the mayor's office commitment to informing us every step of the way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alder. I think I would just add, for the benefit of Alders, but also for anybody listening who's interested, that I think the real immediate actions, in addition to the lawsuits that have already been filed, and I assume more will be filed as well, is really with Congress. And so, efforts to communicate with our congressional representatives, our concerns, the impacts of federal funding and or the lack of federal funding in our community, I think those things are important for our congressional representatives to hear, would encourage folks to connect directly with those offices and make sure that they know, the impacts. And I think particularly, you as council members are well positioned to talk about how important Section 8, for example, is to our community and to your districts, or how important, some of the public health programming is, or the transit funding, or, whatever it might be, not just the money that flows through the city, of course, but, the county receives federal funds, the UW receives federal funds. I mean, there's a long list of institutions in our community that are potentially impacted. So I do think that making sure that our congresspeople are aware of the deep impacts is a useful thing to do.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. And calling our Senator Ron Johnson and others in Congress, I think, is very important. One last question. Dave, in your report, I saw that in I think it was 2025, or perhaps 2024, there was a big jump I don't know if it was operating or capital expenditures regarding the environment. Did that have something to do with PFAS, or there was a substantial jump where it went up to about $4 or $5 million, where the previous year it was, rather insignificant?
We can get back to you on the specifics of that, but I imagine that might be stormwater related or some clean energy related projects.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Other questions for Dave? If not, thank you, Dave. Appreciate the update. And we'll continue to put updates on the agenda as needed going forward to make sure that you all are informed. That will bring us to our closed session items. So President Figueroa-Cole, would you read the notice and move to take us into closed session? You're muted.
Thank you. Okay. When the Finance Committee considers the following matter, it may go into closed session pursuant to Section 19.851E, Wisconsin statute, which reads as follows. Deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public businesses whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. If the Finance Committee does go into closed session, notice as hereby given pursuant to Section 19.852 that it may reconvene in open session without waiting 12 hours as specified in the statute.
All right, and then a motion to go into closed session?
Move to go into closed session.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. It's a roll call vote. All those in favor, aye. Those opposed, no. As your name is called, and Dave will please call the roll.
Council President Figueroa-Cole?
Here. I mean, yes. I'm sorry.
Alder Verveer?
Aye.
Alder Curry?
Aye.
Alder Madison?
Aye.
Alder Evers?
Aye.
Alder Rummel?
Aye.
Mayor, it's unanimous.
Thank you. So we will stand informal while we move into closed session. We'll just remind us that we have two items. One is regarding 501 East Washington Ave. The other is regarding properties generally at 2010 Pennsylvania Ave. So staff that are here for that, please stick around. Staff that are not, you are excused. Of course, alders who are not on the Finance Committee are welcome to stay as well. And we will wait for confirmation that we are off of. And then we'll. Do you want to restart the recording then?
Recording in progress.
Thank you. So the Finance Committee is coming back out of closed session. During closed session, we discussed two items. Item 12 was Legistar 86889 regarding negotiations with Bear Development for possible investment of tax increment financing funds into affordable housing projects at 501 East Washington Ave. On this item, we discussed the project and instructed staff on a negotiating position regarding the potential project. The second item was item 13, which was Legistar 86890, a discussion regarding negotiating directions for possible land banking purchase of properties located generally at 2010 Pennsylvania Avenue. On this item, we discussed the item and the possibilities and instructed staff on a path forward. And that is the report out of closed session. And those are the last items on our agenda today. So I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjournment.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of adjournment? Seeing no objection, we stand adjourned. Thank you all and have a good evening.